emotional this morning. I'm holding it together, but at the same time, I feel I'm so pleased that this has happened finally, because now healing can begin, because it's now been acknowledged. It takes all parties. It takes those of us who are from down in Taranaki, but it also takes those that represent our government and us. And so I just pray that from the depth of the love that God has, which is our love is so minuscule in comparison, that he will give us the ability to, in love, reach out to each other, all of us, reach out to each other and down in Parihaka, to enable this healing to really begin now. You can forgive, but the healing can't really start until there's an acknowledgement. So that's where I see that happening here. And of course, many of you will know that our Baptist Hui this year is down in Parihaka. So for myself and those of us who, those of my tupuna that are down there, or my whānau that are down there, is going to be especially significant this year. Not only because our hui is down there, but we are going to have a female as a president for the first time. We will have Māori as president for the first time. So this year is really, really significant for us. So thank you. Thank you, thank you again. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Gail, would you pray for us as a church as we continue this journey? Because this is significant, and we recognise that. Significant for you, but it's significant as Pākehā. I find it incredibly significant. Gail gave me the book to read on Parihaka. I knew the story of Parihaka. I got a couple of chapters in, and I had to lay it down. It hurt too much. I have to go back and continue to read it.
Father, we've just been acknowledging to you just how great your love is, just how much you have given to us. Father, we know that we can do nothing of significance except when you are Lord of our lives, when we allow ourselves to be led by you and to follow what we know that you are asking us to do. Lord, we want to be your servants. We want to be honourable servants to you, each one of us. We want to share who you are in your entirety, your love, your steadfastness, your constancy, your desire for us to be reconciled and to work together as your people. And so, Father, we just ask that you would give us an extra big dollop of who you are. Father, my brothers and sisters here who love you, who in the in their desire to understand what this means for us down in Taranaki, for what this means for us as Māori, who are trying to understand the different cultures, including us who are Māori. Father, I just pray that you would give them understanding. Understanding with that love. And Father, that not only as we reach out to them, that you will enable them in new ways to reach out to us as well. And so, Father, I just particularly ask a blessing upon those who are here, who are not from Parihaka, who are not Māori, and that they would understand that that comes from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Roha te whakapono me te rangi marie tato e.
From that, we're going to transition to Pauline. Pauline, how'd you like to come and join me? That'd be great. To remind you, we're journeying as a church through the book of Matthew. We're allowing the words of Christ that bring his spirit and bring life to us to read us, to change us, to speak to us. And so Pauline came to me and said, you know what, when you reach chapter 6, I want to be able to speak to this. Is that all right? And I said, that would be fantastic. So that is awesome. Pauline, I'm going to pray with you. Is that okay? Fantastic. I want to thank you for this woman that is in love with you. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness and your grace and your life, your words that bring life and bring change within us. We ask now, Lord Jesus, that as Pauline speaks, we would hear your words. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pauline.
Our Father.
Yes.
Our Father.
Yes.
What? Who is this? Seriously, I'm trying to pray. Oh, no, I have to start all over again, and I'm already in a hurry. Our Father.
Yes, I'm here.
Who's here?
God, your Father. You called me.
What, I called you? I was trying to pray.
Yes, when you said, Our Father, you called me.
Oh, but I don't really know that I really expected you to answer like this.
Carry on.
Our Father.
Yes, my child, that's who I am. Your Father.
Yes, I heard the Bible says that, but... like, really? Is that so?
I created you and formed you. I know you by name. You're my Pauline. And before the foundation of time, I was writing the script for your life. I really am He... Carry on, daughter.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Wait, what does hallowed be thy name mean to you?
It's in the Bible, it's in the prayer. What does it mean?
It means holy, to honour, praise and worship.
Holy be your name. Yes, I see that. It's amazing what makes sense when I slow down. Good morning, whānau. Ooh, that's a bit loud. Luke 11, 1-2. One day Jesus was in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, and then the words of the Lord's Prayer, which are the same words of Matthew 6, 9-13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Scripture shows that the Lord's Prayer was given by Jesus as a guide for us when we pray. These are not words to be parroted in such a quick fashion that the meaning of the words is lost or watered down. How often do we start praying the Lord's Prayer out of a sense of duty or a sense of mindless routine? How often do we pray this or any prayer but don't really expect God to hear us or answer us? Growing up Catholic, it was a common part of confession to make a good act of contrition and say that Our Father, as we grew up knowing it as. Sadly, I grew up hearing it parroted quickly. And so I parroted it quickly, without giving much thought or understanding to the words. This guide for prayer is gold and needs to be further explored. This morning we're going to look at Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Some scriptures that reveal who our Father is, Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Isaiah 43 tells that he created and formed us. He has called us by name. We are his. Isaiah 44 shows the Creator Father saying, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. And beautifully and poetically, Isaiah 68 tells, He is our Father, we are the clay. He is our potter, and we are the work of his hand. He is the Father of the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation, Psalm 68 says. 1 Corinthians 8 shows us that there is one God, the Father, from whom all things come and for whom we exist. Ephesians 4:6 tells that there is one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. In Mark 14 we see Jesus calling Father God Abba, an intimate form of Father. So we see our Father as the life giver, the one who created and formed us from the womb, being Father of all, the Redeemer, the potter of us, his clay, as Father to the orphan and protector to the widow, Abba, Father, with whom we are to have an intimate relationship as modelled by the one Jesus. Ah, this Jesus, who is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, as Hebrews 1:3 says. Believing and understanding God is our Father, and that Jesus, his Son, died for our sins and lives at the right hand of our mighty God, is what separates us from all other philosophies and faiths of this world. And looking at who art in heaven, Psalm 11:4 says, "The Lord is the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heavens. His eyes see, his glance examines humanity." Micaiah in 1 Kings 22 said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose?" Isaiah 66 and Acts 7. Let's look at what hallowed means. Hallowed, honoured, worshipped, revered, made holy, praised, treasured above all things, be your name. Psalm 30 verse 4, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." How often should we praise him? Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be in my mouth continuously." We, his people, who are made in the image of him, the relational God to be relational, we are called to hallow, make holy, praise him continuously, and be in intimate relationship with him. I need to read you one of my favourite psalms, Psalms 148. It shows who, what is called to praise him. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them for ever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. How do these things and beings praise him? By simply being. The sky that heralds the morning. Or a coming storm. Or the close of day. By being a mountain, a crashing wave, or a whisper cloud, or a dewdrop, or a soaring bird of the air. Or a songbird, a bee, flowers, all mankind, and the delightful smile of a little child. By everything and being, being who he created them, us to be, is one way we hallow him. I believe we all have an innate desire deep within each of us to praise him and to be like the one who created us. We may not have cognitive understanding of this, but I can't help but ponder whether this innate desire, if unmet, causes a restlessness or a sense of being incomplete or unfulfilled for a great part of our lives, or a sadness that just sometimes pervades our day and we don't really understand why. Could it be because our spirit is missing communing with our Creator, our Father, in a deep, meaningful, strong and freeing way? Being human, created in his likeness, to be in relationship with him and Son and Spirit makes us unlike the mountain, unlike the wave, unlike the bee, because we have a God-given life force, his spirit, within each one of us. And this life force is what not only separates us from other species, but causes us to hunger for more of him and what he created us for. So what has he created us for? Well, he hasn't created us to listen to what the evil one has said we are. He's just a liar. Don't listen to him. Nor are we created to be the sum of the harsh words that someone has called us. Neither has he created us to be defined by what our start in life was, and our start does not determine our present nor our future. Sometimes things happen to us that can make us lose sight of who we are and whose we are. But we do have the intimate, blessed assurance that he has us in his sight, that we are completely and constantly under his gaze, no matter whether we choose to be close to him or whether our pain, confusion, insecurities cause us to distance ourselves from him and lose sight of him. Us losing sight of him can influence our praise life. So to answer the question of why we're created, I believe we're created for his pleasure. And us being his wonderful creation would have the extreme pleasure of knowing him, and part of knowing him is to worship him. Your presence here in this house today is worship. You have put him before you, and you have made a stand for him today, that no matter how tired you are, no matter your pain, your headspace, no matter your sorrow, your aching loss, you made a stand to show up and be with him and meet with him today. By being here, you have declared to the spiritual world that God is important. Your presence here today is as worship and is victory for God's kingdom. Me standing here this morning is victory. is worship and also victory. It's worship because until 2 years ago, I had such a shocking fear of public speaking. I couldn't speak without crying. And God spoke to me and he said, I have made you in my image. Therefore, fear is not from me. So by faith as an act of worship, I will speak now and in the future. What Satan meant to keep bound, God will release. Oh, that there be much more of him and so much less of me. I can't stop praising him. I can't, and I don't want to. I realized in preparing for this sermon that when it comes to my relationship with God, praise is by far the thing I do the most. Hallowing God is what I do. I wake in the night, and often I'm praising. I go about my day, and I'm praising. Psalm 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. This verse from Psalm 34 is quite a comfort to me because it's enabled me to understand myself a little bit more. I don't tell you about my pull to praise out of pride, but rather because I'm absolutely no different to any one of you. Any one of you. All are called to praise him. And we are encouraged to do this before we come to him with our needs as a general rule, as shown in Matthew 6:9. We are called to see that there is far more than us in the equation. We, God's creations, are being told by the Son of God to hallow Father God, and we praise him before petitioning comes into the picture. Isaiah 61 tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and many can testify that when we feel down, praising God through prayer, song, meditation lifts our mood and our spirits, and often our burdens are not so heavy. This amazing God, this majestic King, this Dad of ours, is worthy of our heartfelt praise and worship. As I said, your presence here today is as worship, and this freedom and desire to worship should be exercised every day because he lives within us. Because he lives within us. Oh, let's not be Sunday service goers and Monday moaners, Tuesday diary page turners without turning a page of his word, or Wednesday warriors who are heading into Thursday, tired and traipsing into Frenzy Friday, the eve of a possible self-absorbed Saturday. Every day he is to be praised. Every day he waits for us to call him. Every day he longs for us to set our flesh aside so that we can take our fill of him. Do you find yourself wanting to give more of your time and praise, but something is holding you back? For those of you who are in love or have ever been in love, remember that heady rush, that heart-quickening, breath-taking away, all-consuming feeling you got when you thought of your loved one or when you saw of your loved one. You know, that maddening madness that leaves you giggly and flushed and you see shooting stars and you find yourself practicing your signature over and over, but that may have just been me. And if you haven't had this experience of being in love yet, I pray and hope that at some stage in your life you will. You will grin from ear to ear like a complete idiot, and that love makes you want to run through long grass, pick daisies and make chains, sing at the top of your lungs no matter how it sounds, and dance, 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 even if you look like a pukeko with two left feet, or if you dance like your dad. This love thing is wanting to spend every waking moment with him or her. And if you have to be apart because of the inconvenience of sleep or work, all you can think about is them and when you'll be with them again. Oh, that heady rush of love. I believe that's how we are to be with him. Our almighty, powerful, sovereign God the Father. Because that's how he's always been and is still with us. My prayer for us all is today, if they need to, that our lives will change and we will praise him more. Our lives will change today. It's a big prayer. A big prayer from a lady who's just a wife and a mama, and I found out that I'm a prickly pip. But who is passionate about God and praising him and about getting to know him more deeply, this wonderful Father that pursues us. Like I said, a lot of my time is spent talking with or praising my Father. And yet I still feel as his daughter, I have only begun to scratch the surface. When it comes to really understanding the glorious communing with him we are called to, I feel called to. Listen carefully. In no way am I saying I don't measure up, or I don't feel I measure up, or that I'm placing unrealistic expectations upon myself, or that I've got up in hallowing the hallowing. No, I'm saying there is so much more, so much more. And perhaps I won't understand the true depths of this glorious communing this side of heaven. But what if this feeling of me just having begun to scratch the surface is how he planned it? So that I would be constantly pursuing him because I can't get enough of him. And all the while, he's in glorious pursuit of me because he can't get enough of me. And he's in glorious pursuit of you because he can't get enough of you. He can't get enough of you. So let's live every day from today in deep pursuit of him and his love. Let's spend more time in his presence hallowing him. Not just because his word tells us to, but just because we can't help ourselves. Let's pray. Oh, Father, more of you that there would be less of us. Jesus, how beautiful of you. How beautiful of you to put us before you. In spirit, we so need your comfort, your friendship, your counsel, your presence. Father, Son, and Spirit, we need you and we praise you. Amen. A few years ago, while going through a difficult period, God gave me some words from Isaiah as comfort, and he told me very clearly that they were lyrics. And I always had in mind to put these words into music one day. And this lovely young lady is Taylor, and she is a young songwriter. And she's along to sing what we both have written. So may the words and the melody bless you. Thanks, Taylor. Blazing flames, you will not be burned.
jogar and the holy wing of preciousness. I love you, and I am the Lord your God.
That can inform us as we go out into this week to live out the command that Christ gives us from that place in light of who he is. We will therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey the commands that he has given us. And we can be sure of this. We can be sure of this. He is with us, even all the way
into Manurewa. Bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock for those who would love to come and join us for the Embrace service. Blessings. Again, thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Pauline.